what I said Wednesday night, for those of you who are here Wednesday, we were going to have a missions focus on the service today. What I want to do is take some time, and we're going to be looking through some mission letters today. I've got the ones that we haven't done. We've kind of gotten behind on those. But first thing I'd like you to do is take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. A lot of times we do things in our churches that people don't understand the idea. And modern missions, at least among what we would call independent Baptists, or what I would call Bible believers, but the point being is, and even under those who are not necessarily Baptists by their understanding or don't call themselves Baptists or whatever, modern missions has a biblical pattern, a biblical template, if you will. And so in Acts chapter 13, we start, look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1, and it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." And that Bar-Jesus would be the son of Jesus, or the son of Joshua, if you will. But anyway, but to carry on, it says, "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they came to when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now I can go in and read the entire thing, but they went there. As we go through the other places, they went and they went to Iconium. They went to Lystra. They went to several other places that they went along the way. And we go all the way. They went to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lyconia. They went on to different places. But we get all the way to chapter 14. And we get to the point in verse... let's go to verse... 22. And when they had preached, verse 21 of chapter chapter 14, he said, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again unto Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come together, they had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there abode they a long time with the disciples." Now, when we look at that passage of Scripture, and we look at these passages of Scripture, we see some things that are common threads. We see people who had a call from God. And we see them examined by the church, because they spent time and they were in prayer and fasting. We saw all what happened, and they were members of that church, so they had been examined by that church. And now they have a call. They had already been identified as being, after the New Testament sense, prophets. And Paul also was an apostle, obviously. But they were bringing forth the word of God, and they were there. And so the Holy Spirit worked in the lives of Saul, Barnabas, and the church, and identified a call for them to go out and do a work. And they went out and they did, by the way, in a much more rapid fashion than we do. They went out and they began to not just evangelize people, but as we see when we went to the latter part that we read before they came back, they ordained elders, they ordained pastors and deacons. And Paul was the one that told us the offices of the church are pastors and deacons, right? That's in 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. And so when we look at that, they ordained elders in the churches and they commended those people. So they weren't just going out doing general evangelism. They were evangelizing and then planning what we would call church planting. And that is the picture of modern missions as we see it, at least at the lowest, at the most basic level. Now, obviously, we have a lot of different things that we have. We have mission boards. We have everything. But still, notice that they went back and were accountable to the church that sent them out. And so, in all of that, what they did was they came back and they testified to the church. So they were accountable. They went back to that local church that sent them out. And this is the idea of missions, that a person that has a call on their life, that God wants them to go somewhere to do something, and that call is confirmed by their local church, and they are sent out. Now, I understand in some cases now we've got mission boards, BIMI, and New Testament Worldwide Baptist Ministries, and Worldwide Baptist Missions, and Fundamental Worldwide Baptist Missions, and all that. Several different places, Anchor Baptist Missions. We talk AFBM. Those are all mission boards, but they do not take the place of a local church. Now, in some cases, we've gotten to the point where mission boards have done that, and that's not good. But the local church there, the ultimately, missionaries are accountable to their local church. And so therein is the picture of that. But the idea of taking people out of a local church that have a call on God, validating their not just their call, but their lives, and then sending them out by faith and having them go out and preach the gospel and plant churches, that is the biblical basis. Now, there are several other things where the Bible talks about ministry. We always talk about soul winning. We talk about the responsibility of an individual believer. But this is a very specific thing. And this is why we do missions. This is the whole idea. Now, we don't have somebody other than Brother Larry right now that expresses a call to that type of ministry or some type of ministry in that regard. But we have the opportunity to not just to be a help to others. If you go through there, Paul talks about other churches that sent to him to help him. And that's one of the things about mission boards. Most of them are clearinghouses, and much of what they do is financial. And they have moral standards and biblical standards and things like that that you have to follow in order for them to handle your finances and to give you that support. But the simple fact is it goes back to the local church. And it goes back to individual believers. So we don't have a missionary out of our church other than Brother Larry, but we don't have anybody that's going overseas or anything like that. But we can have a part in supporting other people. So that is the basis of missions, of the missions program. And then the other thing is, obviously, we do what we call faith promise missions. We give by faith. People go by faith. We give by faith. And hopefully, the idea is that everybody on some level would be giving and going and praying. But that's the idea of missions. And I understand a lot of times we get focused on the additives, if you will, the mission boards and all the different things and the different programs like Faith Promise and stuff like that. But those things have to have a biblical foundation. They have to have a biblical foundation. And so, if, for example, if you have a mission board, it shouldn't interfere with the relationship between the missionary and his local church, his sending church. Now, I think it gets lost a lot of times. But we have that pattern. This is where the pattern came from. And there's several other scriptures. But it starts with right here. And we see Paul and Barnabas being sent out. And then, as we go on past chapter 15, after Paul and Barnabas had gone to Jerusalem because of the dispute that came up in Acts chapter 15, Paul went out and Barnabas went and taught and there in Jerusalem and also rehearsed everything that God had done through them. And so there was a commission, if you will, or a meeting, and the apostles got together and they dealt with this issue of people saying you have to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. So they dealt with that, and Paul and them dealt with that. Then we go to chapter 15 and verse 36, and it says, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Once again, that's one of the places they went. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So he went back, and there was a continual relationship there between the missionary and the churches where he went. Now we understand that Paul was an apostle, but he was also a missionary. We don't hear much about Barnabas after this, but we see that there was an understanding. The church understood what happened. The church sent Paul and Silas out, and it doesn't really say that about Barnabas, but the assumption is that they were sent out and they had the church's blessing. They left to go there. So we see that whole picture, we see that whole idea there, and we see a continuing relationship, and then we see Paul, as you read through the book of Acts, we see Paul and Silas, and then later Timotheus, we see them going out and starting churches in other places. So, and you read in the history books, and you look at a lot of times in the back of your Bible, there'll be a little guide back there. I don't know if I have it in mind or not, but I'm going to look real quick. But a lot of times you have the maps in the back, and here I got it says the journeys of Paul the apostle, missionary journeys, and they have Antioch, the first one, Antioch, to Antioch. Paul goes out from Antioch. He returns to Antioch. The second one that they have marked out is Antioch to Antioch, a second missionary journey where they came out. And then the third missionary journey is Antioch to Jerusalem. And of course, in Jerusalem, we know Paul goes up as a prisoner to Jerusalem. We understand that. So we see this pattern played out, this biblical pattern played out in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now that doesn't wipe out soul winning. It doesn't wipe out evangelism in any way. And there are multiple means by which to evangelize. But the goal of missions is primarily to start churches. To have people get saved and start churches. So I wanted to give you that as an idea and an overview. And if you want to go into it more depth, I'll gladly take time and do that with you. But you can do that on your own if you'll just take the time and read the Word of God, read the book of Acts, and just follow along of what Paul did and how he did. And you'll see him reporting back, and you'll see the things that happened. And so Paul, or Saul, however you want to call him, he is the primary model for missions. But there's always that, and as we go through the epistles, we'll find other things that tell us of the responsibility of the preacher to the church and everything like that, and the local church, and people being accountable to the local church. So when you look at all of that and you take the time to study it, it's really clear in the Bible that pattern is the one that has a clear endorsement from God. And that's why we do that. It's not just it wasn't something somebody randomly came up with one day. This idea of missions and faith promise and all this stuff. It's not, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, it talks about giving and talks about supporting brethren, and 3 John, we talked about it not long ago, it talks about helping people that went forth for His name, taking nothing of the Gentiles, helping them along their way, being a blessing to them. So there's multiple areas that we can look at. So I just wanted to take the time today. This is nothing big, but it's just something that we need to be reminded from time to time. People lose the understanding of it. Or don't care. That's always a possibility, I guess, too. But the simple fact is, the reason why we bring missionaries in, the reason why local churches, let's start beginning, the reason why local churches exhort people to surrender for missions and for ministry and things like that is because that's where missions and ministry should start. And the reason why we bring in people from other local churches, and I examine them, I examine their doctrine, I make sure they are going to teach what I believe is biblical doctrine before they ever get up here to talk to you. And then we bring you in, and we bring them in, we allow you to judge. And we decide as a church whether we want to help them or not. Whether we want to have a part, whether we want to be the ones that sin once and again unto their need. And so, like the Philippians did to Paul. And so, when we look at that, we get to make that decision, but it's all done in the local church. And their goal is to go out and make disciples and try to plant churches. That's the end goal. And then their accountability, even though they send us letters to tell us what's going on, they're not accountable to us in anything other than the fact whether we're going to support them or not. We get to decide that. They don't get to decide that. We decide that. And so, but what we have here, and what we look at that with, we have the letters and everything, is that they're just giving us an account for understanding of what they're doing, so we can continually evaluate them whether we want to continue to support them. But their accountability is to the local church. And that's the way it should be. So I don't know what you've done when it comes to missions, and there's a lot of different things that we could talk about. I'm trying to make this just overview, high level. But if you've got questions about missions at all, or anything we do or have done as a church, all you got to do is ask. And if you see something that you don't believe is biblical, well, then that's not a problem. I should be able to just take my Bible and show you the biblical basis for it, right? Be very simple. But that's why we do what we do. But sometimes, so many times, what happens is people come into churches and they just participate. This is the way it's been done. It's always been done this way. But the question is, why is it being done this way? Is it somebody's program, or is there a biblical basis for what we do? In some places, they just decided we take X amount of the budget for missions and we send it off, and nobody's the wiser. Some places, they just take a big general offering for missions, and then some executive board decides where it's going to go. But our goal is to follow a biblical pattern for missions. Amen. Amen. Which starts and ends with the local church as far as earthly accountability goes. Obviously, the ultimate accountability is to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Remember, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do." All right? So when we look at that, the call came from God. It was confirmed by the local church. In other words, they said, "Yes, we believe these men are called of God." And the local church sent them out. So therein is the reality. And then the accountability was back to the local church, even though Paul, in many of his letters, wrote letters back to Philippians. And he wrote those letters and commended them for helping him, and commended certain believers for helping him. Right? So we see that. But when we look at Paul's life as an overview, we see that even though he was an apostle, he had accountability back to the church at Antioch. And the other apostles, by the way, had accountability back to the church at Jerusalem. So there was, you know, and I could spend a long time talking about that, but understand very clearly that what we do in missions, we want it to have a biblical basis. So if you've got questions about it, then ask the questions. It's always better to participate in something when you know what you're doing and you have a clear conscience with God, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get up to heaven and say, and Lord asks, "Why did you do this?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. Everybody else was doing it, Lord. A preacher said it was okay." I'd much rather know why. So I just wanted to share that with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close that. And I've got some missions letters we're going to look at. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful in our missions giving. And Lord, but most of all, faithful to you in why we do what we do. So help us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All